Bibles to John chapter 8 then. John chapter 8. It's good to be saved. Good to be here this morning. And I sure appreciate that singing. Amen. And when they got up and got to singing, and I'm sure some of you is wanting to shout. You're just putting it, holding it back. But I wanted to shout on that one. I tell them I got to. That's the first singing group that's ever sung here that I've got to see all five of them saved. Yeah. And that's a blessing.
Amen.
That's a blessing. And I'm glad I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
And I hope you're saved here this morning. And I promise you this, if you are saved, I hope you got the joy of the Lord on the inside of your heart. And you say, preacher, I enjoyed them singing it. You can't let them know it. God gave us some words. I'm going to preach in a minute, and I'm going to say this right now. God gave us some words to help folks let them know we're for them. You know that's right? That's right. God gave us some words. Say, what are those words? Amen. That's a good Bible word right there. Means so be it, thank God. That's right. And when they got to that part and they got to that portion where we said, I want our lives to count for Jesus, they ought to have been ever how many saved folks in this room said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to preach. Bible says in John chapter number 8, here the Word of God says this, very familiar text of Scripture. I need the Holy Ghost to breathe on it afresh this morning. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes, the Pharisees, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. Said, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger. He wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Bible said, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Then he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. They which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this morning. And to God, I sure pray that you'd help us. I'd ask you, Lord Jesus, that if it's his, and Lord, the last time, or Lord, even if it's not, God, I pray that you'd help it. That'd be the best time that we've ever had. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd help us to say the best things that we ever have said about you. And Lord, I'd ask you that somewhere between our lips of clay and their ears of clay, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God will get a hold of the Scripture. God, get a hold of the Bible, Lord. And I pray that you'd just make it real in our heart. I pray, God, that you'd help us. And Lord, to tell the story one more time. And God, to remind folks one more time. And God, I pray to exalt Christ one more time. And Father, I sure am glad tonight. And that God, that has set us up to sing it. I'm glad, Lord, you did not put me here to kick a soccer ball. And God, you didn't put me here to drive a fast car. And God, what you put us here for was to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, you'd help us to do that today. Help me to worship, Lord, right in the midst of preaching. God, you are the best thing that's ever happened in my life. I sure love you. I ask you now for help. One more time, give us good unction. Lord, we sure thank you for everything you've done.
In Christ's name we humbly beg and ask, amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily, really, in just one verse. Everybody knows this story. And no doubt if you've been around the house of God any length of time at all, you are very familiar with John chapter number 8 and how this lady called and the very act of adultery has been brought right to Christ. But what I'm interested in is what Christ's response was in verse 5. And notice the question they ask him. This the Bible said, and now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But the Bible said, but what sayest thou? If the Lord help me today, I'd like to preach on this. Christ has the final say. Christ has the final say. I want to go on record and say thank God. And when it comes to my life and it comes to your life, and we all just step back sometime and say, thank God, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ has the last word. Amen. Thank God, friend, listen to me. I want you to hear me well. At the end of this thing, when it shakes down and I've drawn up my last breath, I stand at the judgment seat of God. I'll not stand there before the Pope. I'll not stand there before the Baptist brethren. Thank God, I'll stand there before the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything he said will be the only thing that matters on that day. I got to be thinking about a few things in this lady's life here. And you pray for us, Lord, help us real good. And there's a whole lot happening in John chapter 8. And more than I could ever unpack in one service. I'd like to give you 3 or 4 or 5, 7 things, whatever it is. And I'll be done. The first thing I want you to see is this. And the first thing we see in this lady's life is the sentence that was against us. And watch the word of God very plainly. And this is what he said in verse 3. And this woman was taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto her, Master, and this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. I thought about this first of all, that she was exposed before men without excuse. I want you to listen to me, friend. This is a picture of not just of this lady, but of every sinner. You understand this lady. And when she comes to this place, and she's sitting right in the midst of where the Lord Jesus Christ is, and she's sitting there without excuse. And thank God, listen, I've been around Christians my whole life. I've been around lost folks my whole life. And the only difference between a lot of them sometimes is that lost folks sometimes just simply will not admit what they really are. Amen. And so they stand out there and they'll start blaming everybody else, everybody all the way around them, and for what they are, why they are. And say, well, it's this person's fault. And you say, preacher, I've never done that. And that's what Eve done in the very beginning. And that's what Adam done in the very beginning. And we like to blame somebody else and for the reason we're in the shape we're in. But the reality is, I did not need any help to get in the shape I'm in. Amen. I found it there my whole self. I thank God, found sin by myself. I was going to hell by myself. But I'm sure glad, listen, there came a day and a point in time in my life when I ran out of excuses. It wasn't somebody else's fault. It was nobody else around me. And thank God it was me. I was guilty, guilty, guilty. And what a good day, thank God. I'll say this to you, friend. This lady stood there and she was without excuse. I mean, as she stood before it, I thought of all the things she could have said. And she didn't blame her mom and dad for why they weren't what they was. And she didn't blame her husband. And she didn't blame this other lady's husband. And we don't understand all that she was. But she didn't blame nobody else. And she didn't blame those folks that she was running with. And she didn't blame the people that was helping her sin. And no, thank God, there come a point in time when she was just without excuse. There's a lot of folks today, friend, and they get to talking about why they are and what they are. And it's always somebody else. Amen. And you say, preacher, I'm not. If I had this husband, if I had this wife, if I had this church, if I had this preacher, and no, you are what you want to be. Amen. If you want to be spiritual, you can be. If you want to be on fire for God, you can be. And thank God, and you say, preacher, I wish everybody else around me was. I wish they was too, thank God. But if they don't, I know how to build my own fire. Amen. I built once a house, got some on the inside of me, and that even if nobody else wants to, I want to, thank God. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this, said, I don't know about getting mad at me. This lady's in this place she's in because she's a thief. And I feel a little bad preaching about it because if I can be, I'm going to be a thief this morning too. I'm going to try to steal everybody's blessing that I can get in the church. Amen. I thank God, just leave it. You leave one laying around, I'll take it. Amen. And I thank God, listen to me, friend. This lady's in this place and she's exposed before me. But then I thought she's in a place where she's been examined by Moses. He said, this is what Moses said. And there was no exception. In Leviticus 20:10, it says she's taken in the act. I thank God she's to be stoned without exception. I thank God, listen to me, friend. He didn't make exceptions all the way down. If you found somebody in this place, hey, you didn't let them off the hook because they're pretty good people. Hey, you didn't let them off the hook because you knew their mom and dad. Amen. I thank God he didn't leave none of that. I know how things work in Baptist churches. And thank God I've been one my whole life. We got two sets of truth. We got a set of truth for people we don't like and a set of truth for the people we do. Amen. Has somebody helped me on that one? I thank God y'all know that's right. If somebody that we don't like, if it's somebody we don't like, we'll throw the book at them. And we'll say, listen, they probably ain't saved. And they ain't right with God. But if it's somebody we do like, and we'll say, let's all pray for them. Hey, you know, if a brethren be overtaken in a fault, hey, you, it's our spiritual. Somebody ought to help me a little more on that. And you say, what's that? And listen, Moses didn't have no double standard. It was the same rule for every single person, amen. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Now listen, friend, she's standing there. Had been examined by Moses. And she'd been exposed before me. But she'd been extended over to Christ. Here we find this blessed. And she gets extended over to Christ and has absolutely no expectation. And don't know what he can do for her. And don't know what he can. I imagine, honey, that he probably, and she probably thought that he was going to just reach down and pick up a stone and do the same thing everybody else was going to do. But I sure am glad there came a day, thank God, and she met somebody who had a little different character than just the religious folks. Amen. Hey, listen, thank God, I want you to hear me. Christ never did care for religious folks, and I find myself caring less and less for them in the day we're in. Amen. I thank God. Hear me, friend. You say, what's the difference? I'll tell you, if you get redeemed by the grace of God, and God puts something on the inside of your heart that's compassionate toward other sinners. Amen. That says there's a time I was in that shape. Oh, listen, she gets extended over to Christ. And Christ standing in that place. I don't know if she heard about him or not, but here's what I do know. And she was turned over into the hands of Christ. And what a happy day. Amen. And what a great day, thank God. And they thought they was making it. They thought they was making it tough on him, and they ended up making it easy on her. I'll tell you what happened that day, thank God. And they handed off the Lord, that little lady, and put her in the best place as she ever could have been. Amen. Extend them over to Christ. What she is. And the Bible said when they extend over, and they simply asked her this question. They said, what sayest thou? They said, here's what Moses said. Here's what we think about the matter. They said, but we need to know what you say about it. And we need to know what you got to say about it. I want you to watch this. This is foreshadowing in your Bible if you'll have that. And watch what the Bible said in verse number 6. It said this, they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. He said, but Jesus stooped down. And man, listen, I'll tell you, I wish I could get this out. And the way God puts it in my heart. If I ever do that, I'm probably going to be raptured out of this place. But I'll tell you how this happened right here. And my friend, this little foreshadowing of what God was going to do for all of us. That gets down in that place, and when they're in that place, he said, what do you say about it? And the Lord does not speak with his mouth, but his actions tell the story. And when he sees this little lady, and she's caught right in the midst of where they're at, and the Bible said he just stooped down. And you say, preacher, what's good that do? That's what he done for all of us. And when the Moses, his law was against us, and when we were caught before men, and the answer from the devil is, and what are you going to do about this mess? Amen. And the Bible teaches us that the Lord stooped down. Amen. That came down to where we were. Amen. That's pretty good, thank God. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said, who was made as sin for us who knew no sin, and we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's pretty good thing. And thank God when the Bible said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's pretty good deal, amen. And whenever God looked down and he said, and listen, they're caught in the act, and Moses against them, and they're on their way to hell. And his response was, I believe I'll just stoop down, amen. Aren't you glad he stooped down to where you was at? I thank God, hear me today, friend. I got thinking about three things that happened. And the Bible says he stooped down, and with his finger he began to write. I thought about three things that happened. And number one, he had to look down with his eyes. And number two, he stooped down with his body. And number three, he reached down with his head. And I thank God all three of those things have made me want to shout, amen. I thank God there's a time that when we was in the shape we was in, he looked down with his eyes, he came down with his body, and he's still reaching out with his head. And there's none of those things changed. He's still reaching out to whosoever will. And you say, preacher, I'm in a bad way. Hey, you're in a good place, amen. Hey, you might be in a bad way, but it might be the best position you've ever found yourself in. Oh, yes, listen, friend. I got in that place and I lost my Bible again. Where'd it go to? Thank God. Listen, I want you to notice here in this text, and whenever you find this, they got in that place, and whenever he's extending out, we find that they said not just the sentence that was against us, but here we find he's a Savior that came down to us. I mean, just right down to where we was at. I stooped down there asking him a question. He said, what are you going to do about this? He don't even answer. Watch what the next part says. In verse number 7, I love it. And we find not only is he a Savior with us, but then we find a substitution for us. And the Bible said this, they said, tempted him. And Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground, as though they heard him not. Verse 7, and when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself. I want you to understand what happened here. And thank God this lady's in a bad spot. And this lady's down, but the Lord has stooped down to where she was. And y'all just stop sometime and thank God that he'll get right in the midst of our mess. Amen. I'm sure, listen, there's some messes. If I could, in my own life, I'd have stayed as far away from them as I ever could. But I'm glad the Lord never has been afraid. He's never met one sinner in one condition, in one place, and he wouldn't come right down and get right in the midst of the mess they're in, amen. And you ought to thank God for it. I thought about this, they got down there. His answer, you know, he stooped down. I know you just have to stay with me in this, so I can't help it. I just try to say what I feel like the Lord wants me to. And I try to move on, but he stooped down. And while he was stooped down, that is a picture of Christ in the flesh. Amen. Don't miss this. Don't let this go over your head right here, because the next part won't be no good if it does. But when he stooped down, he showed what it was going to look like when he walked among men. And he walked as us. He walked on this land in the same likeness of sinful flesh as us. And they continued to ask him, and what are you going to do about her? And what are you going to do about her? And I got thinking about this, Brother Kevin. If I was writing the Bible, I'd have said, and he raised up. But that's not what it says, is it? Hey, you go read your King James Bible. It does not say he raised up. It don't say that he looked up. It says that he lifted himself up. Amen. Hey, you say, what happened? Hey, you want to know what Christ's answer to your sin was? And what Christ's answer to my sin was? He lifted himself up. And thank God, stooped down. At first he stooped down, and then he lifted himself up. I mean, what a Savior, amen. And thank God, came down to where we was at and walked amongst us. And they're saying, what are you going to do about them? And what are you going to do about them? And the Lord never answered them a word. And just lifted himself up. And thank God, you say, preacher, what good's that do? It does a lot of good, thank God. I'll say this, friend, listen, watch this. And don't listen, don't miss all this right here, okay? And the first thing he did when he lifted himself up is he took on himself her shame. Hey, you understand in this place right here? Everybody listen to me real good right here if you can. In this place right here, as she was naked and brought before him, caught in the very act, as sin was on her, sin was in her, and there she was in the midst of these folks.
clothes, as stripped and as naked as she could be. And the first thing the Lord done on Calvary's cross in John 19:30, and they took off his garments, and there he was stripped naked on the cross for our sin. And you say, preacher, why would he do it? And for the joy set before him, endured the cross and despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm sure enough glad it was a day that Christ had raised himself up and to take away our shame. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. And what a Savior. And you say, preacher, what's his response to our sin? And look up at the Calvary's cross and see the Savior beaten. Amen. And see the Savior mutilated. And what you'll see is his response. And for our condition. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. I mean, there he stood on the cross. I thought about it. He took away her shame. And then he took away her sin. Amen. And you say, preacher, how'd he do that? He didn't just die for her. Amen. He died as her. Thank God. And listen, I can't really understand this. But that my mind, listen. I mean, my mind can't really comprehend all this. But you understand, at Christ on Calvary, he became every sin in order that he might pay for every sin. And now there's some sins we don't mind him paying for. I would say, thank God the Lord on that day. And God made him to be sin for us. And so God treated him as a liar, and that he might save those that are liars. And now just listen, let's just let this sink down your heart. And no matter how God treated his own son, he treated his own son as a murderer, and that he might save those that are murderers. He treated his own son. Now listen, and you say, preacher, I'm for all that. And thank God for all that. And you understand, he treated his own son as a child molester, and that he might save child molesters. And now listen, the Lord's standing there naked that day, and he's hanging in shame out between the heaven and the earth, and right in the midst of everything, and just so that you and I might get to go off scot-free. And you say, preacher, and what about for me? Listen, how you think, just everybody just hang tight with me right here. And you think of the worst sin you've ever done, and you take that thing and you run to Calvary. And on Calvary that day, Christ paid for that sin. Christ became that sin. He became the sin of pornography. He became the sin of drunkenness. He became the sin of idolatry. He became the sin of adultery. He became the sin of fornication. He became the sin, God help us, of self-righteousness. He became all those things, and he might pay for them and for you and me. Amen. That's pretty good. Pretty good Savior, I'd say. Pretty good. You take that thing. You say, preacher, I don't know if God ever had me. I can tell you his response has already been there. He already took whatever the worst was and went up to Calvary, and he paid for it in full. And so he took away her shame, and he took away her sin, and then he took away her sentence, and they all wanted to kill her. And I listened. They said, what do you say? And man, you know how they are. How those independent Baptists, they had stones in their head. And I said, wait, we're ready to throw the stone. Amen. And the Lord said, hold on just a second. I thank God. He said, I'll lift myself up. He said, I'll stoop myself down. I'll lift myself up. I'll pay for that sin. Thank God. Hey, listen, glory to God. I'm sure glad where I stand at today. And that not only did the Savior come and lift himself up, but I know I paid that thing in full. He said, when it was over, it is finished. Amen. That's a pretty good trade, I'd say. That's a God of glory. When he got done paying it, there was nothing else left to pay. There was nothing else left to add to it. There's nothing else left to say. And the God of heaven had paid us out outright. Amen. Oh, yes. I mean, he lifted himself up. He said, I'll pay for that. Thank God. Now, he's not answered them yet. I thank God. They keep asking him. He said, what's your answer? And to listen, every time they're asking him what the answer is, what thinkest thou? What thinkest thou? He's answering them without ever answering them. Said, you want to know what I'm going to do for sinners? I'm going to stoop down. You want to know what I'm going to do for sinners? I'm going to lift myself up. How you say, what are you going to do for sinners? I keep looking, keep reading the next verse. Here's what he said. I know when the Bible says it like this. So when he continued asking them, verse number 7, lift himself up and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then watch verse number 8. And again he stooped down. Thank God. How you say, what's his answer? What's his answer? His answer is he's going to stoop down. His answer is he's going to raise up. His answer is he's going to come down again. Amen. Hey, you say, preacher, what's that answer? Haven't done you thank God no one didn't pay for it on Calvary's cross? But he's going to stoop down again. Hey, listen, here's what you find this. He was separated from us. Hey, you go on reading that. Here the Bible says he is. And that there he was left alone. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of whenever he cried out. And that final cry, he yielded up the ghost. He took his body off of Calvary and put that in an old pine tomb. And they thought for 3 days and three nights that that's where he was. But that's not where he's at, amen. His body was there. I understand that. I understand physically. His body was there. And you say, preacher, where was he going? He was going to let all the sinners know. And the one you've been waiting on to stoop down, I stooped down, amen. And the one you've been waiting on to get raised up, hallelujah, I got raised up. How you say, how do you know that? In 1 Peter, the Bible says he is. In verse chapter 3, verse 19, he went and preached to the spirits that were in prison. Ephesians chapter 3, and the Bible teaches us he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. I mean, thank God he came down to where they was at. I said, Abraham was pretty good. And Moses, that was all right. And paradise seemed sweet. But I've got a better plan than that. It's time for me to pay you off and pay you out and lead you out of here. I'm saying, thank God, friend, he was doing more than just laying in a grave for 3 days. Oh, he stooped down. And he stooped down, thank God. I was separated from everybody. But doing more than we could ever know. I'll tell you this, he done more in 3 days than we'll do in our lifetime, amen. Thank God for 3 days. I don't know how all that works out. But what I do know is this. The 3 days he's down in that place, cut off from the land of the living, has a tender plan in Isaiah 53:3. And we know he's been cut off. And for 3 days the disciples is worried. And for 3 days his mama's worried. And for 3 days John's worried. And for 3 days everybody's worried but him. Amen. And now listen, the Father's not worried, Scotty. And the Son's not worried. And the Holy Ghost ain't worried. Hey, you say, what was happening for us? And thank God it's whenever he came up the third day. And my friend, that was raised up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. As we stand here today, friend, and what a blessing it is to know that the grave holds no power on the believer. And that death holds no power on the believer. And the grave holds no power. And that, listen, friend, I'm talking about that we've already got victory and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because he stooped down, amen. That's not where this text stops at, though. Watch what it says. It says it again. He stooped down and he wrote on the ground when he heard it being convicted of their conscience. You know the story. Watch verse number 10. It said, and when Jesus had lifted up himself, and thank God, listen, you know what his response to sinners was? His response was he had stooped down. His response was he'd raise himself up. His response was he'd stoop down lower. His response was he'd raise himself again. Amen. And you say, how'd he get up from the grave? I got good news for you. You know how he got up from the grave? He raised himself up. Amen. And God raised him up. And the Spirit raised him up. And the Son raised his own self up. He had power to lay down his life. He got power to take that thing up again. I'm telling you, this is all in response to this question. He said, what sayest thou? And when the Lord got up, he says, listen, I'm telling you, thank God. I would to God I could preach a little better than what I can. And I'll tell you what happened, Chase, when he got up. When he got up on the third day, he said, where's thine accusers? And everybody was gone. Amen. And Moses was gone. And the men were gone. And the sins were gone. And no accusation. I'm telling you, thank God. At the final day, when I stand before the Lord free, I'll stand before him forgiven, and redeemed, and born again with a clean slate. And my sins washed away. My accusers are gone. And because he got up. Amen. He got up. I want to say this. I thought about this. I wish her accusers would have hung around to find the answer to the question.
Amen. Yeah.
He says, woman, where are thine accusers? She said, I ain't got none. That's Onidian. I ain't got none.
Amen.
And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Boy, if they'd have just hung around a little while, they would have got his answer to the question they wanted to know. He said, what sayest thou? What sayest thou? What sayest thou? She said, neither do I condemn thee, Nathaniel. Here's what you find out, thank God. They did not hear the answer to their question, but she got an answer to one she didn't even ask. Amen. And here, and I start thinking about this, Samuel. And you say, preacher, listen, they walked out of that place and convicted in their own conscience, not believing what Christ had done for their soul. But that lady, when she went home that day and went home justified, thank God, and went home justified. I mean, listen, the accuser's gone. His response, grace. Her attitude was glory. I mean, when they walked out of that place, I thank God she knew that she had been forgiven. Amen. Oh, listen. I imagine them fellows, you know how they went. They probably went home that day, and as they stepped out of that place one by one, they put their, you know, they all realized they was guilty. It helps. It helped everybody for everybody to realize how guilty they really were. I know. I know. Listen, I hope yeah. one day I can preach that and everybody that shakes their head really does believe it. Yeah. But I'm afraid there's far too many people who don't really believe they're guilty.
Yeah.
They believe everybody else is guilty.
Yeah.
They believe they're doing just fine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm doing good. Doing good in life. Doing good to my wife. Doing good to my kids. Doing good to my neighbors. Doing good to the church.
Yeah.
Doing good to the Sunday school teachers. Doing good to the job. Doing good to everybody but God. Amen. You say, oh no, I believe in God. No, listen, in America, in Jamestown, let me preach about Jamestown, Scott County, Tennessee. We've got cultural Christianity. It's just sort of like a passage, right? You know, like a football or any of those other things that happen in the fall time. And we want just a little bit of Jesus with everything else we got. And so we fear the Lord, but we serve our own gods. And we come in the house of God and we'll say, here, Lord, we're going to give you a dollar. Listen to me. Don't nobody get upset at what I'm going to say. Yeah, but if you think giving God a dollar helps your standing between Him and the Lord, just put that kindly back in your pocket. God's not broke, amen. He don't need that, thank God. And that did not help your standing with Him, amen. I'm saying this to you, friend. This thing's not about your culture. It's not about being brought up and knowing all that stuff. At some point in time, it's got to get beyond that and get real in your heart, amen. Oh, yes. Listen, I started thinking about this. If they would have just hung around, at some point in time, Donnie, they found out what the answer to that question was.
Yeah.
They found it out, Chase. You know how they found it out? Next Sabbath day, Brother Mike, next Sabbath day when it came time, Nathaniel, for the synagogue, they got ready to walk in the synagogue. Jared, whenever they walked in there, they see this little lady, and she ain't dead. She ain't, look at me. She ain't dead. She ain't dead. They didn't have her funeral. There's not an obituary. There was no stones piled on her. The next time it came time to go to the synagogue, here come a little lady walking in.
Right.
Hey, listen, no doubt she had to walk right in amongst them people who wanted to stone her.
Yeah.
Hold on to your hats, neighbor. Had to walk right in that place. Thank God this time when she walked in, she knew she was right and they was wrong. Amen. Oh, listen, thank God. I mean, she walked in there and I can hear, you know, Brother Big Mouth and whispering over there to, you know, Sister Itching Ears, and they got to talking. And they looked back there and they said, can you believe who just walked in? They said, last week wasn't she sleeping? That was so-and-so's husband. And thank God. But when they get to singing that good old verse, that my sins are gone, and they are still sitting there condemned, and she was as free as a bird. I'm telling you, thank God, it sure sure is a blessing. And that when this thing wraps up, that the Lord has the final say. He's the last one to say it. And friend, whatever He says is the only thing that matters. It don't matter what you think. It don't matter what your neighbor thinks. It don't matter what Moses said. I'm glad when Moses said condemned and Moses said die, he was somebody who superseded Moses, who said she can live. And Moses said it's the law, and Christ said it's grace. And when Moses said it's time for the grave, He said it's time to resurrect. And when Moses said it's time and for everything to be behind you, and Moses, God said, and the Lord Jesus said, it's time to get up and go on. Amen. Oh yes. What sayest thou? Listen, at the end of this, I'm done preaching. Stand to your feet. I'm done. I feel like the Lord wants me to be done. Joshua, won't you come sing, I've been changed. Won't you come sing, I've been changed. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what's going on in your life. If you're here, listen to me, friend. If you're here and you're not saved, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, He stooped down for you. Raised Himself up for you. Went back down for you. Came up the third time for you. He done that for you in your condition right now. It don't matter what everybody else says. God's given you opportunity. You can be right with God. You can be right with God. As they sing this song, I don't know where you stand at. All of the building, I pray. Listen, if you're right with God, y'all just listen. Don't worry about getting your keys and all that sort of thing. Just bow your head. Just humbly, wherever you're at, ask God to deal in the hearts of sinners. Hey, listen, friends, she was caught in the act. She was in a bad way. She left that day. She left redeemed.